After opening his letter to the Philippians and sharing his appreciation and gratitude for them, Paul will now provide more information about his circumstances and describe some of the things that had happened as a result of his imprisonment. In chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel." The word "now" marks a transition into a new subject that the Apostle Paul will discuss with the Philippians. He will address them as brethren, which expresses the close family connection that they now have as children of God. There's something which Paul desires that they clearly understand about his current situation. It would be natural for the Philippians to think about what has happened to Paul as being grim or disastrous. His friends may be tempted to conclude that having such a devoted servant of Christ locked away in prison meant that his career as an apostle was over and his ministry was ruined. Unexpectedly, and quite to the contrary, Paul states that his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. The word "rather" might be taken as a term of contrast, but it can also mean more or to a greater extent or a higher degree. This adds emphasis to the meaning of the word "progress," a compound word which pictures cutting a path forward or driving forward by beating a way through. It was commonly used in its figurative sense of progress or advancement, and it's the opposite of the related word enkapto, which means to cut in upon or put obstacles or hindrances in the path. Paul does not view his ministry as having been inhibited or obstructed, but by contrast, he considers his circumstances as benefiting the ministry of the gospel. This counterintuitive assessment must have come as quite a shock to those who viewed this situation in a negative light. He says in verse 13, "So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else." In this verse, Paul focused on the fact that the gospel message, the cause of Christ, was being publicized everywhere as a result of his imprisonment. News was being shared widely that a righteous man was being held for trial in Rome simply because of his belief in the salvation of mankind provided by grace through faith in Christ. In modern terms, we might say that the headlines and social media were abuzz with his latest situation in Rome. It was common knowledge that Paul was not a dangerous criminal or a rebel who actively sought to overthrow the government. Reports about the capture of those kinds of people would have also spread rapidly. But the news about Paul's situation would have been even more intriguing. Detaining a man with such a righteous reputation would grab people's attention and pique their curiosity to find out why this was happening. When Paul said that his situation has become well known, he used the Greek word phaneros, which has the idea of causing something to appear by bringing it into the light. The facts of Paul's surprising or unusual imprisonment had the effect of shining the light of public attention on the cause of Christ. This was a consequence that pleased Paul, even while he was enduring confinement in Rome. Interestingly, Paul made reference to the whole Praetorian Guard. And we might wonder why Paul would draw attention to the fact that his guards knew about his situation. Why would mentioning his guards be more noteworthy than the fact that everyone else already knew about him? When Paul appealed his case to the emperor, which we see in Acts chapter 25, verses 11 and 12, he became the emperor's prisoner and would have been placed in the custody of the emperor's guard. The Praetorian Guard consisted of several thousand select soldiers who were responsible for protecting the emperor and keeping the peace in the empire, functioning as a sort of military police force. They were an elite group whose pay under the Emperor Nero was 3.5 times that of a regular soldier. The Praetorians became quite influential and were often involved in affairs of state. It's said that after the assassination of Caligula, the Praetorian Guard found his uncle Claudius hiding behind a curtain in the palace. They brought him out and announced him as the new emperor, which was the first in a series of emperors proclaimed by the Praetorians. The Roman Senate acquiesced and ratified their decision rather than risking defying armed soldiers. The Praetorian Guard was feared by the general population as well as by the Senate. One scholar described Paul's relationship to the Praetorian Guard this way. The faithful believers in the church at Rome had no doubt prayed that the Lord would open a way to witness to the elite and influential Praetorian Guard. In his sovereign wisdom, he answered that prayer by making members of that guard captive to Paul for 2 years. I loved that comment. Those soldiers would have come under the constant influence of Paul's personality and his example of holiness in living to please God. Even though he was experiencing difficult circumstances, he would have displayed an inexplicable graciousness and patience and love as he demonstrated his personal concern for each of the individual guards that God brought to him every day. His character alone would have been a profound influence on those hardened soldiers, and many of them probably put their faith in Christ for salvation. We do not know whether Paul had any direct contact with the members of Caesar's household during his imprisonment, so it's likely that converted members of the Praetorian Guard were the ones who spread the gospel to Caesar's household. In verse 14, Paul said, "And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear." In the previous verse, Paul had explained that public awareness of the gospel had been heightened by his imprisonment. Now in this verse, he'll describe the effect of his imprisonment on other Christians' activities in sharing the gospel. Here he identified most of the brethren, using a word that means very many or the most part. These brethren were trusting in the Lord. And here the perfect tense of that word is used to describe an action that happened in the past with ongoing results that continued into the present. Those believers had already put their trust in Christ at some time in the past, but their faith was being strengthened and they were emboldened by Paul's imprisonment. This implies that prior to his imprisonment, believers in Rome may have been reluctant to share the gospel in the way in which it was now being shared. It appears that the public attention being focused on Paul's situation had encouraged everyone to talk openly about the reason for his imprisonment and this provided a platform for believers to share the gospel message. Because Paul was in the public eye, it motivated believers far more than previously. The word far more, perissos, is related to the one that Paul had used when he prayed that their love would abound, perissuo. As it did there in chapter 1, verse 9, here in this verse it means to greatly surpass beyond measure. This pictures the extent to which the Roman church was enabled to share their faith with others. The word courage includes the ideas of being bold, daring, or venturing to take a risk. This boldness resulted in their ability to speak. This word does not mean preach, but simply to speak in everyday conversation with others. Paul's imprisonment provided an open door for discussion and helped to pave the way for telling others about Christ without fear. So rather than being terrified of reprisal, Paul's imprisonment had provided opportunities to speak up, since many people actually wanted to hear and understand. The Word of God, as it says here, became an open topic for public discussion, and the members of the Roman Church were able to take advantage of that opportunity. In verse 15, Paul said, "Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill." In this verse and the following three verses, Paul will describe the contrasting motives of those who are preaching Christ or formerly proclaiming the gospel message. Here he identified two different approaches, which reflect these believers' attitudes toward Paul himself. First, he said that some were proclaiming the gospel out of envy, using a word that means resentment towards someone because of what he has that you lack. A person who envies either covets what the other person has or wishes that those things would be taken away from the other person. In Paul's case, his freedom of movement had definitely been taken from him, and there were some who were pleased about that. Several years earlier, Paul had to deal with what he called a party spirit and the divisions which were threatening to tear apart the church in Corinth. Paul had been told that there were at least four different parties who were claiming, as it says in 1 Corinthians 1:12, "I am of Paul," or "I am of Apollos," or "I am of Cephas," or finally, "I am of Christ." Paul's command in response to those Corinthians was, "I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree and that there be no divisions among you." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Well, apparently there was evidence of a similar party spirit between the churches in Rome at that time. This lack of unity among the believers in Rome would become an important theme which Paul would make the Philippians aware of in order that they guard against it. At the end of this verse, Paul shared a second motivation of the believers who were sharing the gospel. He said that they were motivated by goodwill, using a word that literally means to think well of something or someone. Again, this describes their attitude toward Paul personally, rather than their thinking regarding the message of the gospel. These believers were preaching out of partnership rather than partisanship. They took the position that they were fellow partakers of grace with him in the ministry of the gospel, as it said in chapter 1, verse 7. And Paul will continue to describe these people in the next verse. In verse 16, he said, "The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel." those who were proclaiming Christ from good motives were doing it out of love. As mentioned in the previous section, this type of love is self-sacrificing and always considers the best interests of others as its highest goal. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 9. These believers clearly understood Paul's role in God's plan for spreading the word of God throughout the known world of that day. They could see that God had appointed or destined Paul for the defense of the gospel. The word defense, apologia, is a legal term which means a reasoned statement or argument. Paul's life and message were a witness and testimony for the truth of the gospel. In one sense, the gospel was on trial with Paul in Rome, and the result of Paul's case could potentially impact every Christian. Some believers understood that they were partakers with Paul in the outcome of his legal defense and confirmation of the gospel. They could see the bigger picture and did everything they could to help Paul. In verse 17, Paul said, "The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment." Well, here Paul returned to describing the former group of believers, those who proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition. Well, that's an interesting term, which definitely has the meaning of selfishness and putting oneself forward in contention for a higher position. But it also includes the ideas of underhanded dealing or intrigue and conspiring or electioneering to win an office. It implies the existence of factions and a party spirit within the Christian community in Rome. Paul clearly stated that this attitude was the opposite of having pure motives, which comes from a root word that means clean, pure, honest, holy, and sincere. Those small-minded believers were unable to see the bigger picture of God's purpose for Paul's imprisonment. Instead, they were focusing only on themselves and what they might have to gain from his incarceration. The fact that Paul did not find fault with the content of their gospel shows that their problem was not doctrinal, but personal. In verse 18, Paul said, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice." Well, this verse tells us some important things about the situation in Rome at that time. First, it shows that the differences in people's approaches were the result of their personal feelings toward Paul himself. It may have caused Paul undue pain to see others reacting to him this way, but he clearly discerned that these were personal attacks rather than involving errors in the message of the gospel itself. Second, the true gospel was being proclaimed. Those who were preaching Christ out of envy and strife were not heretics, because Paul never would have let false teaching continue without a vehement rebuttal. As one commentator said, "The problem was not in those preachers' theology, but in their motives, not in what they preached, but in why they preached it, preaching the pure gospel from impure motives." Well, this verse presented Paul's conclusion about the situation. The most important thing to him was that whether it was proclaimed out of envy or out of love, in every way, Christ is proclaimed. The word pretense pictures someone who wears a mask which hides the true state of things behind it. This tells us that those who proclaimed Christ out of selfish ambition were sharing the true gospel message while putting on a righteous front that concealed their inner motives. Paul could rejoice because their wrong motivation was hidden or minimized, while the gospel was clearly declared in truth. At the end of this verse, Paul affirmed his attitude of rejoicing by repeating himself, "Yes, and I will rejoice." And this expressed his deliberate determination to rejoice in spite of the efforts of his opponents to provoke him to sorrow or distress. How he himself was being treated was not as important to him as how Christ was being proclaimed throughout the region. The public awareness of Paul's imprisonment became a platform for Christians to openly discuss the reason for that and to share the gospel with those who legitimately desired to understand. The fact that Paul was guarded day and night by a member of the elite Praetorian Guard gave him ample opportunity to witness for Christ to a captive audience of influential soldiers. Some believers in Rome were preaching Christ from the hidden motive of envy or resentment for Paul. Their selfish ambition provided evidence of a party spirit in parts of the church at Rome, similar to what Paul had dealt with previously in Corinth. But Paul rejoiced that the true gospel was being proclaimed, and that Christ would ultimately receive the glory.